Stories like Dave Smith's are common, increasingly so as the wars abroad wind down and veterans come home. Aaron Glantz is a reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting, and he's the author of the book, The War Comes Home. He joined me by phone to talk about what makes the transition to civilian life so hard.
I think that when you have been through war and you have seen killing, you may have participated in killing. It's not a normal thing to do, to kill another person. It's also, you know, not a pleasant thing to watch your friends get killed in a war. And then you come back to the United States. You come back to San Francisco or Berkeley or, you know, Palo Alto, and the war is a world away, and nobody understands what you've been through. It's incredibly isolating. And then, you know, if you have post-traumatic stress disorder or another kind of psychological injury from the war that's constantly putting you back in that war space, even though, you know, technically speaking, you might be in a very safe environment, it can be very difficult. This is one of the reasons why so many returning veterans sleep with their weapon, because you're trained to sleep with your weapon in the war zone, and then you come back and people have trouble giving that up. It's like your security blanket. It's why, you know, so many returning veterans, you know, have trouble in their personal intimate relationships, because it can be difficult to have that kind of intimacy when there's this thing between you and your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend called the war that the other person doesn't share.
So, Aaron, what's it like for a vet to try and access services at the VA to get help or care that they need and to which they're frequently entitled?
There's two big systems that veterans try to access at the VA when they come home. Actually, three that are important. So there are three main systems that veterans try to access when they come home. The first, and actually the easiest to access, which they've just reformed, is the GI Bill. It used to be really hard to access your GI Bill, and it used to be not very much money. But Congress in 2008 improved the GI Bill dramatically, and the VA has really overhauled how that's delivered. And so now it's actually a relatively easy thing for veterans to go to school after they come home. And most of them are starting at the community college level because, you know, let's face it, it's not usually the person who's bound for Cal Berkeley who signs up for the military. It's usually somebody, you know, who is, you know, not an A student, but is committed to improving their lives. And so when you get out of the service, you start at the community college. And so we're seeing a lot of people using their GI Bill. The second bureaucracy, which is kind of in the middle in terms of its functionality, is the healthcare system. The healthcare system for returning veterans was a complete disaster when this war started. President Bush did not invest in the healthcare system when he started this war, even though, you know, obviously a massive war in Iraq was going to create large numbers of casualties. There was no hiring for years of doctors, nurses, psychotherapists, etc., to care for these people. Beginning in 2008, the VA began to get more money and hire more people. Free health care was extended to all veterans in the first 5 years after they come home from the war. That's been very helpful. But even so, the average wait time for a psychiatric appointment at the VA, according to the Inspector General, is 50 days. So welcome back from Iraq. You're having these nightmares. You're having this trouble that we've been describing. You could wait up to 50 days on average for that appointment. And in the meantime, you might be sleeping with your weapon every night, and it might be loaded, and you might be having suicidal thoughts. And then it's no wonder that 22 veterans commit suicide every day. Oh, yeah, and then if I could, there's a third bureaucracy, which is the benefits bureaucracy. And this is a check, to get a check from the VA every month because you're wounded in the war and you cannot work. And this is the system which is horribly broken and horribly backlogged, and that we've been focusing on at the Center for Investigative Reporting, that the number of veterans waiting for benefits has doubled to almost 900,000 under President Obama, and that the number of veterans waiting more than a year for their disability benefits has increased more than 2,000% under President Obama, from about 10,000 when he took office to about 250,000 now. If you are wounded, if you are disabled by the war and you cannot work, then these long, long wait times, on average, you know, for first-time claimants, well over a year here in Northern California, is just debilitating to so many veterans.
And we're speaking with Aaron Glantz. He's a reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting. He's done a lot of reporting on returning veterans and particularly the VA system. So your reporting led you to the conclusion that the government bureaucracy is failing veterans when it comes to these benefits and these services. President Obama came in and made promises that he would eliminate the backlog and eliminate some of these problems. Is that happening?
No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. It's incredibly distressing to pretty much everyone who's watching this because President Obama was very good on this when he was Senator Obama, and then he made a lot of promises when he ran for office, as you mentioned, and then when he got elected, he appointed former four-star general and Vietnam veteran who was wounded in Vietnam, General Eric Shinseki, to be his VA secretary. Most observers like that, and he gave General Shinseki a lot more money to hire more people and computerize the VA process, and yet here we are in the second Obama term. 97% of claims are still on paper. If you go into the Oakland office of the VA, which handles all Northern California claims, you'll see stacks and stacks of paper piled everywhere. Each individual claimant's, each individual veteran's file, you know, can be a foot or more thick.
And it hasn't been computerized yet.
And it has not been computerized. The internal documents that we obtained from the VA show that 97% of claims nationally are still on paper, and this is after spending $500 million over 5 years.
So the bureaucratic system doesn't seem to be working. There seems to be some goodwill to get it working again. This is a war where most civilians really weren't impacted, where veterans bore the brunt of most of the impact here in the United States. What do you think we as civilians should be doing or could be doing to better help veterans reintegrate into society?
Well, I mean, I think part of it is just keeping the issue front and center in the public consciousness. You know, one of the most difficult things when you come back from this war is that most of the country is not paying attention, is not engaged. As you mentioned, it's kind of the other 1%. Some say only 1% of Americans have been personally affected by this war. And I think that when you ask yourself, how is it that President Obama, made these promises, got Congress to appropriate more money, and then nobody did or said anything, really, while the problem got at least twice as bad, probably more, under his watch, the answer is that pretty much nobody was paying attention, and that it allowed the president to go around making statements and speaking at U.S. military bases and cemeteries and so on, and saying that he was valuing the service of these veterans, and there was nobody there saying, hey, the things that you're talking about are not actually coming true. You know, veterans are not actually getting the help that you're promising, despite all of this money that you're putting forward. Maybe we should try to solve this problem. So this is something, if this issue is going to get solved, it's going to take the leadership of the White House. You know, the president is going to have to become personally involved. Some people have said that Eric Shinseki should resign as the VA secretary. Whether or not he stays or goes, the VA definitely needs more oversight. You know, and it needs to come from the executive branch because Congress is kind of at the end of its rope here. They can't force the VA to do anything. They're not going to cut off the agency's budget. And so in order for that scrutiny to happen, the White House needs to know that the public is engaged and the public cares, and the public will notice if these promises are not kept in the future.